Our next guest has had quite a career in a number of television shows and films, from Bosch to Mom, SEAL Team, Masters of Sex, Criminal Minds, Castle, Dexter, NCIS, and Mad Men. And the list goes on and on. We're pleased to be joined this afternoon by actor Jerry O'Donnell. Thanks for being with us, Jerry.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great. I've liked your work for a long, long time as somebody who's done a little bit of stage acting here for a regional theater. I have so much respect for people that can immerse themselves in any role, and you have done that so well for so long.
You know, it's the kind of thing, I guess I didn't want to be one person my whole life, you know? I mean, I wanted to be a cop when I grew up, but, I play cops on TVs and criminals, but this way you get to look at all different people, and you have to really kind of become a writer to write around their life to find out how they get there. And even if it's a small part, you know, you get to do a lot of work. What regional theater up there?
Penobscot Theater, right here in Bangor.
Oh, any favorite roles?
Barney in Last of the Red Hot Lovers.
Oh, wow, that's a great play.
That's a fun show. And you're on stage for every minute of the play, so it's a workout, too.
Yeah.
My
wife and I had a theater company in Provincetown, Massachusetts for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
We were part of it. We were with a founding company. And there's something about live theater, you know, that is, the audience gives you energy and inspiration. It's really great.
And you touched on this. So when you have, even if it's a one-off in a show, obviously it's not in the script. Do you take the time to create a backstory for that character?
I do. I mean, some of it's just, because it's fun, the curiosity. You know, my sister once said a long time ago, like, oh, I was like, why does that guy do that? She goes, oh, that must be, you know, why you're an actor, because you're curious. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Like, I'm always wondering, like, why did that happen? Why did the guy do that? How do we get to where we are? And it just helps to ground you so that you're not, like, acting in that moment. It's just they're filming a continuum. You know, they're just taking a piece out of of the train moving by. They're just seeing a piece of it. And that helps me just be, I don't know, more real, more honest, more present, and also help tell the story.
What's the key to being a successful character actor?
Being ready. You know, I'm kind of like a prize fighter waiting for fights. You know, I can't get in shape by Monday. Like, say, you know, if I had an audition Friday, I can't get in shape by Friday. I have to be in shape. So I'm in class. I do theater. I have friends that make small films. I work in those so that I'm keeping the spark plug clean. So it fires and inspires, you know, and bringing everything you've ever done, you bring to every role too. But it's not me there, it's the character. So I have to make sure I'm clearing away my own junk. I do these morning pages, you know, this thing called the artist way, where you like write three pages every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just clears stuff out. So, I mean, it's a lot of stuff, but that's one of the things of being ready.
You were in the military. You served in Panama. How did that background, I have to think the discipline that makes you successful and you have to have in the military must serve you as well as an actor.
You have to be disciplined as an actor because, like I said, you have to be ready. You have to have all your stuff ready, headshots, scripts. You have to, you know, a working car, because the call, you know, could come anytime. And nobody wants to hear excuses like in the Army. And it's funny because when I was a kid, my dad was a big Tay Williams fan. I'm a big Boston Red Sox fan too. And I always thought you could hit or not. And when I went in the Army, it was a clean slate. And it really was, it's a meritocracy. How hard you work and how, you know, well you show up and how you perform in the moment is how you get ahead, and it's how everybody sees you. And from then on, I realized I could just, you know, I can outwork everybody. You know, I could just work as hard as I can and be ready and be as ready as I can. The rest is not up to me. You know, that's beyond my control. So the Army really was a great confidence booster in that, because the harder you work, the better you do.
We're talking with Jerry O'Donnell here on Downtown. Stephen Tobolowsky is a great friend of our show. Comes on several times a year, and he told us the great story.
He's a great actor.
And he said he used to rank his appearances by the character. If it had a number, he knew it wasn't going to be an experience where he'd be invited back. If it was just an occupation, That was the next level. If he had, if he had a title, a Professor Johnson, but no first name, that was sort of the next tier. And he was very excited to get both names for his character.
Yeah, I think when I also dabble in writing. I mean, not dabble. I'm trying to work on learning TV writing, and a lot of times they tell you don't give a full name to somebody. That's just like going to be in like for two lines or something. I almost rank them as like, am I part of the story, or am I like a cop pulling you over for a speeding ticket? You know, just to make But I mean, you're always part of the story, and you do your job. Because when I was my first acting teacher, Harriet Novick, back at Suffolk Community College when I got out of the Army, and she just said, you know, your main job is to serve the story. I'm not serving Jerry, I'm serving the story. And it's, you know, it's a funny thing because one of the first jobs I got when they called me from my trailer and I came out, one of the assistants held an umbrella over me. It was raining as we walked to the set. And you could really think the umbrella's over you, but it's over the makeup and the costume, you know?
Right.
It moves perspective pretty quickly. Yeah.
Well, you were certainly part of the story and part of the ensemble with a recurring role as Peggy's brother-in-law, Jerry, in Mad Men. That was such a great group to work with. What was that experience like?
Great group. Matt Weiner was so hands-on. Like, I mean, I had a few shows under my belt by then. And when I got my haircut, you know, usually you go to haircut, then you go to makeup, then you get in your costume. And I said, and she goes, come with me. So we walk to the side of a studio building, the red light's on, the red light goes off. Matt Weiner comes out, the show creator, and walks around me in a 360 and checks my haircut. And then goes, okay, that'll work. Like, his attention to detail was so specific. Like, the house that was my house that, Peggy and my mother-in-law came to, that looked almost exactly like my grandmother's house, who was an Irish immigrant in Maastricht, Queen. I mean, the crucifix on the wall,
right,
with the Palm Sunday cross tucked in behind. I mean, it was amazing. And I don't even know if everything made it onto camera, but it really did fill that life.
We talked to David Marciano a couple of weeks ago about a wonderful series that you're both in, Bosch. That's a series I came late to, but it is so good. The characters are great. The writing, the acting, directing, it is really a dynamite show.
It really is. And I had a scene with Titus Welliver, and Michael Connelly, the writer, did a Hitchcock in it. We were at a bar. One of the cool things about Bosch is, if they're driving down Sunset, they're driving down Sunset. Mm. They're not driving down a street that looks like Sunset in Toronto. And we filmed this place, the Frolic Room, which is like an old dive bar. And he's down the bar playing an old rummy, you know, just sitting there. His books, I was just rereading a book called The Black Box about an old case that Bosch connects to a new case. And the funny, he really shows all of life, like the stuff you don't see in a glitzy movie. But it's still, they stay on story. You know what I mean? Like there's a shirt that they were raising money for a charity, and there's one of Bosch quotes where everybody counts or nobody counts. And I love that.
Mm.
You know, like you see all of LA, you know, all of the people, which a lot of times people, you know, avoid.
Is there a character through the years that you've played that you'd love to get the opportunity to play again?
You know what? The character on Bosch right now, Anthony Cervedone, is great because it's almost in the question what you ask, because he's a retired cop and an old case is being revisited, and that is good because I have, following the show and following the script, recreate the past and then bring it up, and how, because you can't go back, and change something, and that kind of that creates a little tension, I think. And there's so many roles. A lot of them are theater roles, too, you know, that you would love to do. And years later, you go, oh, that's what that was, you know, because you understand more about life as you age. So you have a better perspective. But I know I'm still excited because I think there's so much TV writing. TV is, you know, the time they have to tell a story. I'm excited about the quality of writing that's out there now and the roles to come.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you talk about a golden age of television, so many platforms out there, but really, the ability to tell stories that you could never tell in a two-hour movie.
Yeah, and see all the nuance behind it. You know, like I'm watching Mindhunter right now. It's almost what I fell in love with, how stories used to be told in movies where they spent time. You know, when you would see somebody living like one of my favorites is Robert Duvall. You know, that he was, I mean, he's always the same, but a lot of times those characters aren't almost related. Like, you know, the great Santini and Tom Hagen are totally different guys, you know, from The Godfather. It's so interesting to me. And if it's directed well and if it's on script and everything is efficient, because it's a little bit like poetry, you know, writing screenplays. But so much informs just the way somebody holds something, a way they breathe in a certain moment. That's always intrigued me.
You're a wonderful follow on Twitter as well. You can follow Jerry at Jerry OD. Did I see, is that your dog that I saw the picture of?
Yes. You know, it's funny. My wife always wanted a small dog, and I had a big dog that was like a black shepherd wolf dog. And then a friend of ours had rescued some dogs from a puppy mill, and we got this little tiny dog that was a pound and a half, Freddie, and he's a Maltese poodle. And I always told my wife, I said, listen, I'm a 200-pound ex-paratrooper. I was a boxer. I'm not walking some little dog with a bone in there. You can walk him. You know, that dog owns me now.
Of course he does, yeah.
Oh, he's a great little dog. And he's very, very, he's crazy smart. And we've spoiled him. So, you know, yeah, it's no excuses. But my other dog was great. Because, you know, he looked like a man's dog. This does not, but they're still dogs. You know, they still play tug-of-war and stuff.
And you mentioned the Red Sox are... But you're enjoying following this Mets season? I saw a Mets tweet. What a great story they've been.
I'm a Mets Red Sox fan, which is because I grew up in Vermont and Long Island, New York. And the Mets are great. They're kind of like this. To me, my dad liked them both, too, because they were kind of both scrappy. He was a Boston Red Sox fan. Yeah, the Red Sox are 6 out. The Mets are 2 out of the wild card, I think. Yeah, I like that the Mets have a homegrown team. I'm not in love with the owners, but So they have first four guys leading off now, 1, 2, 3, 4, are all homegrown and all kids. That's, you know, it's fun to see that. It's infectious.
Well, and
I think baseball's like a metaphor for life because you go up the plate, you strike out, happens in life, you know. I was coaching Little League, which is, you know, and really you're really teaching kids about life more than, you know, how to take failure, how to, you know, enjoy yourself, be a teammate, don't be a jerk, you know, all the same stuff applies.
No question about that. Well, Jerry, it's a great treat for us to talk with you. We've enjoyed your work for many years. We look forward to the new season of Bosch. And thanks so much for making time for us today.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure, Rich.
It's Jerry O'Donnell with us here on Downtown.